Welcome to Rest, Release to Revenue podcast, where we educate, enlighten, and encourage how to improve our quality of sleep to grow our business and improve your health and wellness. I am Donna D. Moore, your host, and I want to welcome my special guest, Pamela Burkhead Jones, career strategist. Welcome, Pamela, and thank you for taking the time to share your experience and expertise.
Hello. Thank you, Dinetta. Thank you for having me on your show.
You are so welcome. I'm going to get right to it. Now, the first question I have, why did you decide to change from a first responder to a career strategist?
Well, it's good that you should ask. Yes, I am. I was a first responder. I did 27 years in law enforcement. I spent most of my career in investigations, and towards the end, as I made manager, I began to do administrative and other functions. And what happened was as I was going through my career, I knew I was going to retire at a certain time period. When my time came up, we had to do 25 and 50. I had to do an extra 2 years. And I knew, I did that countdown. Everybody that's in military, any type of first responder job, and they can retire and get a pension, they always do this countdown. And I knew I was going to plan, and I was going to leave as soon as I can, because it can be a taxing and grueling job at times. So when I got to close to my countdown, I started preparing myself to go on out into what I call the real world and to get a job. And I was like, you know, I said, all right. And when my time period came up, I had all the credentials that I needed to make myself marketable. And what I realized when I was putting my application and started my 6 months into close to retirement. And finally, probably maybe a month before I was ready to retire, I did get an interview. I went in and I did the interview and I aced it. And when I aced it, they offered me the job, and it was a federal job, and it was going to be a background check where I had to get a top secret clearance. So, of course, I knew I had that countdown. I already knew I was leaving, and I wasn't going to, you know, do another extra day. So I actually left, and as I was waiting on the background check, I started to really think. I was like, okay, I'm going to get a job that was going to be 9 to 5, weekends off. I was guaranteed off at 8 hours. You know, wasn't an essential person, so if something really happened, I didn't have to go in. So I was like, okay. But then as I thought about it, I was like, okay, helping people is what I signed up for in the beginning back when my early 20s. Or even when I was 17, I knew I wanted to take a job to help someone, to help people. So I was like, okay, do I really want to go into an office looking at four walls, day in and day out the same, really not helping anybody, you know, pushing papers, as I would say, and looking at and talking to people who pretty much probably don't want to be there, and that environment would be toxic. And I was like, you know, because everyone I hear, a lot of people are in jobs that they really don't want to be in, but they're there because it pays the bill. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, do I really want to go in and take a job, or do I want a career that I love and do? And then I started to really seek out, as they were doing my background check, I was doing some soul searching, and I was doing listening and trying to get my values aligned. And I took into some things where I got coaching and different. I was like, okay, career strategist. I really like doing that. I think I really want to help, and I wanted to bring it back to help those first responders and those people who are kind of stuck or unsure, and they feel undervalued, and they want to move on, but they don't know where to go, and they don't know their next. And I had the credentials to help people along, so that's what actually got me into the career strategist and then founding my own company and agency where I help people gain their confidence and get those necessary skills and pump up those desires to just do what they want to do in life instead of just going out and getting a job and being unfulfilled until, you know, and coming home and not feeling their best selves or being, you know, feeling that they are given their life, their all in all. And that's how I got here.
That is wonderful. And I do hear that a lot in certain profession, first responder, police officers, or firefighters, that it's like when it's time to retire, they have a hard time because it's so ingrained and it's hard to move on. So that is good because, you know, you experience it, so you know what it's like, so you can really give it back. So that is great, and it's good. And I know you have so much to offer because you can really relate. And so that brings even more to the table. So that's great.
Right, and you know, a lot of times the reason why it's hard to move on because it's such a regimented career, is environment. It's like it's someone telling you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, when you can take off, when you can't. And you just look at COVID-19 and this pandemic we're going through right now. You have a lot of the first responders that are out there working, and they're, you know, they're in that, and they can't take off. They have to go to work. They can't be protective in their household. And it's just really taxing on them. So they actually have to, they sit there and they get used to that. And then when it's time to let go, or when it's something telling them that they should be letting go, but they can't, it's hard to do that.
Right. Okay, now my next question is, what was life like as a former first responder and trying to get sleep after a grueling shift?
Oh, wow. It was truly, truly hard. And I think what was lucky for me is that I lived like 45 miles away from where my job was. So I was able to unwind a little bit on the way home, well, a lot on the way home. But there were some of those nights because, like I told you, I worked in investigations. So I've worked from homicides all the way down to child sexual assaults. And I've always had innocent kidnappings and missing persons. And then you just think of it as being the first responder, sometimes you can't help but seeing in that person someone dear to you, possibly. Just like when I used to hear a lot where you see a young person that may have been hurt or abused, and you can't help but think, oh my gosh, what if that was my loved one? What is that? So that stuff wears on you. So just get, you know, just trying to wind down and come off of that and get, when you get home and trying to go to sleep, it's hard because you see some of those faces and some of those scenes you go on, and you hear those loved ones screaming, and they're, you know, they know their loved one's not coming back, and it's just, oh my gosh, you just hear those sounds, and it's like, oh wow. You know, and it, you have to really, really kind of shut that off or you won't get any sleep. So it's been many a nights when I was in that field that even though my ride home was sometimes after I laid down and settled down, I had to really, really just think about something else and think about something more pleasant and positive to get myself to sleep.
Oh, okay. Great. Now, the next question is, what led you to your profession, and did you realize the impact it would have on your sleep?
You know what? What led me to my profession, when I was younger, I watched my dad, who was involved in a very bad accident while working on our home, and I watched how he was able to overcome and still be able to be a pillar into society and still take care of his family in spite of his difficulties. And I knew I wanted to do something because I watch other people around who've had less trauma or less things that happened to them in their life than my dad, but there was no way that they just couldn't see themselves going on. And I was like, okay, how? And then I started looking, and as I was in high school, started different looking at different programs, and then I said, oh, I want to become a social worker. I said, because social workers can help people through times like that and get them the services and whatever they need so they can move on. And my dad didn't need the services because he developed resilience in his mind. But those people who couldn't do that, there's programs out, and I wanted to do that. But what happened was when it was time to go to college, and I was always down to the last drop. It was graduation, and we was getting ready to, you know, it was that summer, and it was almost time to move to the dorm room. We got a notification from the school that some $2,000 was not covered. And at that point, my dad could not do it. And what happened was I had to go ahead on and get a job. And my dad back then would say, go get you a good government job. And I went and got me a good government job, as he said. And it was really nice, because it's like, it seems like it's followed me, because it's the first interview I went on for my federal job, they hired me right on the spot. And I got my good government job, and I went to school during that time period. And when I was going to school, and it was actually happened to be a criminal justice agency, and I ended up liking investigations, and I said, oh, this is another way I can help people who've been through traumatic situations, I said, oh, wow, I like the investigation. So I ended up going to college to changing my major over, instead of social work, for criminal justice. And I ended up going into a criminal justice law enforcement agency. And that was history. I ended up retiring from 2 years ago.
That is wonderful. It's really funny how you plan, but then how you were still on the right path of helping people. But instead of going the common way that most people become with social workers, it's good that you had other opportunities, and then you've seen that, and then you've taken that. So that is great. Now, we get ready to take a quick break, and I want to thank the listeners for listening to Wrestling to Revenue, and our special guest, Pamela Burkett-Jones. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist, founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. In your professional life, are you repeatedly saying to yourself, there has to be more to life than what I'm experiencing now? There has to be a better way to reach my goals, aspirations, and desires. There is no way I can keep going down this road and maintain a level of satisfaction. This leads you to feeling stuck, overwhelmed, cloudy with uncertainty. I have a coaching program which will stir up your passion and develop a strategy to get you moving on to your next level. Contact me for further discussion. My email is contact@proactivelife.com. Visit me at my website at liveproactively.com, or you can telephone me at 240-682-1343. Looking forward to hearing from you.
This is Donetta D. Mooring. I want to share with you my new book, 21 Days to Improve Your Sleep Hygiene and Lose Weight. It's a great book that provides guidance, tips, and techniques on how you can become more mindful, gain energy, and become more productive to grow your business. I appreciate you purchasing my book on Amazon, or you can go to my website, Donetta D. Mooring, which is donetadmooring.com. Thank you for your support.
Once again, thank you for staying with Rest Leads to Revenue podcast. Our special guest, Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist and former first responder. Can you share the impact of not getting enough sleep had on your life, or maybe still continue to have on your life?
Yes, that's a great question. As a first responder, not getting enough sleep is very, very important, because I can remember days, and especially when I was in investigations, the calls always came in. You know, I was 24/7, something really happened in the city. I had to chuck on back into the city to respond to that particular scene. So I really did not get a good sound sleep when I was a first responder, because when you're on call, or when you never know, because mostly technically it doesn't matter when you're a first responder and you have to go in. If emergency happens in your jurisdiction, they may call everybody in. So you can get a phone call in the middle of the night. And so it doesn't make you a sound sleeper, because you're afraid that you're going to miss a call or miss someone call you in. So I know when I was a first responder, I didn't sleep well, because constantly the emails kept going, because they never sleep with law enforcement, fire, medical, EMS. They never sleep. It's 24/7. So the calls, and you still get those calls coming in. So those nights where it was a busy night in the city, and when it was time to get up, it felt like I didn't even sleep. It felt like probably one of those naps you had take in the middle of the day, and you get like a cat nap, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and you don't really, you're not really asleep. You're just kind of like resting. Some of those days, some of those nights, I felt like I just rest. I just took just a little bit of a cat nap, and I was up. And many of those nights, at 2:00 in the morning, I'm staring in the ceiling, and then I'm picking up my pager. It depends on what time we're talking about, my pager or my smartphone, and I'm answering a question from an investigator or an official. And it's just like, it was just ruling. So the next day when it was time to get up, I was just so tired. And it's just so hard when you don't sleep to think straight. Sometimes, and it's stressful. And it really brings up your stress level. So when you go in and you have to answer questions after questions, or you take care of stuff, it's just, it makes you really not really think. So sleeping is very, very important. And now, even if I try to get enough sleep for myself now, where it doesn't, because I know how it is because of my experience when I was a first responder, I try to get that sleep and get the rest, because you're a better thinker.
Yeah.
And you're a better thinker, you're more creative, you can answer stuff right on the fly when you get rest.
Right.
If you don't get rest, your thought pattern slows down. It really slows down.
That is true. Now, the other question I have, now, normally when you think of sleep deprivation, most people think of driving. But the question is, did you recognize any of the signs of sleep deprivation when you was a first responder? And not necessarily driving, but just trying to perform your job.
Oh, yes. Of course I did. It was just tired. It just felt like even small tasks seemed like they were huge tasks, because your body is just so tired, and you know, and then your days off, you kind of look forward to them. But of course, just like everything else, you know, you didn't really have days off when you were a manager, and as a first responder, you still, like I said, even though they're open 24/7. So that's so for some people, their weekends are regular, Saturday and Sunday. First responders may get weekends off, they may not. But also, that agency or that unit is open 24/7, especially, you know, if you're dealing with something that is actually always involving in crime or saving someone's life or whatever. It's 24/7, so you really never can catch up and get that proper rest.
I see.
So it does. I mean, it makes you just really come to a point where you get tired, and you know, a lot of people don't want to take off, but it's really great if they take some time to themselves and maybe take a break here and there.
Right, right. Yes, that's important. Now, the other question I have is, how passionate are you about getting rest now, since you transitioned from a first responder to a career strategist?
Oh, I'm very passionate, because I make sure I get that sleep, because I want to be always constantly thinking, constantly helping, because I do work on most of my clients are a first responder or in careers where they're kind of demanding. And I want to be able to help them along and to be their coach and their consulting to them. Sometimes I have to, work with them to try to think of something they can't think about, and then a lot of times it's because maybe they've been work in a shift or they, especially right now with COVID-19, because of so many first responders that I talk to right now, they're feeling undervalued right now. They're feeling scared and tired and stuck because they feel that this is going on and this is the first time we've seen this in our time. We've had other details and other things that were mandatory, but they've never been something where they can actually, they protect themselves while they're at work. And so they're most of their things they're concerned of is protecting their own life while they're on duty. Now they have to think about when they come home and come past that threshold, and they're worried about if they're going to bring anything into their households to affect their families and their loved ones and their friends. So me being able to get the proper rest so I can be able to be there and show up for them as their coach and mentor is very, very important.
That's great. That is great. It really makes you really respect and appreciate, and sometimes you just don't realize how important certain careers are until crises like this happen. And so I really do appreciate you with sharing that, and we're ready to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Greetings, this is Dr. Celeste Owens, author and speaker and leader of the Global Surrender Movement. I want to invite you to participate in our 2020 Global Surrender Fast and get ready to experience miracles, signs, and wonders as you join in prayer and fasting with business owners and laypersons from around the globe. This year, in celebration of our 10th year anniversary of hosting the Surrender Fast, we are inviting you to participate with 40,000 other fasters. Yes, you heard me right. 40,000, that's what we're believing God for, to be in prayer and fasting, seeking God's face for your business, for your team, everything that God has in store for you. So that fast will happen September 21st to October 30th, and you can register at surrenderfast2020.com. Come and be a part of this great experience.
Welcome back to Rest, Release, to Revenue podcast. I'm so thankful that we're speaking to Pamela Burkett Jones, and she's sharing valuable information. And I do appreciate you, and I'm very grateful that you're taking the time. And I want to give you the opportunity to share with our listening audience what we can do to support you and how can we reach you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Again, I'm Pamela Burkett Jones. I can be found on social media under my name, and I'll spell that last name for you. It's Burkett-Jones. I'm on Facebook under my name, and I do have a business page. It's Proactive Life Coaching and Consultant. On the Instagram, you can find me at Live Proactively. I'm also on LinkedIn under my name, Pamela Burkett Jones. And I have a website, is liveproactively.com. And if you need to contact me, my email is proactivelifepbj@gmail.com. And telephone number is 240-682-1343. Garnetta, I want to thank you for having me on your show. This has been a great time with you. I'm looking forward to listening to your future podcasts.
Well, thank you, too. Thank you for all the information. And until next time, sleep heals.